Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
One of the best things about this pandemic is that I have had an opportunity to bring my wife onto this radio program, and I'm not just saying that because she's here. She adds something. She's feisty. She's got some life experience, and she's sitting beside me on the stool now. You're on your mobile device. What are you doing? You're tweeting about your appearance on the show?
I feel like I'm heavy breathing into the mic. Am I? I'm sorry.
Luke, you are my father moment.
Sorry. Bad habit.
I want to pepper you with some. Like, hey, is that a problem in TV? Or does somebody control your mics
in TV?
Mouth
breathing?
Like, if you're a heavy breather. Because you're anchoring, right? You're reading off a teleprompter?
Yeah, but in TV, your mic is down more kind of in your lapel area, so it doesn't pick up as much of the mouth breathing.
Right on the mic.
Yeah, you like in radio, you guys practically eat the mic, which if you're sharing mics, ew.
It's gross.
Yeah, so gross.
It's terrible. Let me ask you a question here. I talked earlier in the show about teachers. It's Teacher Appreciation Week. I mentioned to our listeners that one of the things that surprises me about you is that you grew up on Sandy Boulevard, not a nice area of Sandy Boulevard, running and living in a motel that your mom was working the front desk at, and you were there. You would eat meals there, I'm sure, and you were hanging out there, and it was prostitutes and drug dealers, and it's not somewhere like today. I'll be honest with you. Your guys' motel, it's not somewhere that I would bring our family. I wouldn't pull in there and be like, this is where we're going to stay tonight.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done that.
Not ideally.
And yet you end up on a full ride to Pepperdine, class president. How did that happen? How did school play a role in that?
I think it had everything to do with the educators who were around me. And when I say educators, I don't just mean teachers. I mean school counselors. I mean family friends who were teachers. I'm thinking in particular of Victor and Marilyn Kaufman. Vic was a Yale University graduate and an English teacher at Centennial High School. Marilyn was a grade school teacher. And
hold on. Neither one of them taught you?
No, they didn't teach me. They were just in our lives.
How did they get in your life?
I think literally we were like walking to church or something. And Marilyn stopped and asked my mom and me if we needed a ride, because that's the kind of person that Marilyn is. And so that's how we met when I was four. And they're still in my life today. And so having educators as family friends was huge because, you know, my mom and dad were both college graduates in Taiwan. So they understood the importance of education, but they didn't know the system here. So being around educators who had kids who went on and had successful academic careers played huge in my life because they were role models for me. They were sitting down with me before each semester, going over what my courses would be, pushing me to take honors classes, you know, the whole gamut, which we might not have known being an immigrant family.
They took an interest in you. Your mom wasn't around your school events until maybe your senior year of high school. Is that right?
Well, yeah, because she was always stuck at the motel.
So it strikes me as it would have made sense to me if you would have had academic problems. It would have made sense to me if you would have been in trouble, like if you would have ran with the wrong crowd, being that where you grew up and the people that were around you. So was that parenting or was that the school, or how much time did you spend at the school in elementary and junior high and high school?
I mean, I think by the time I got to junior high and high school, I spent an inordinate amount of time at school because I probably was trying to stay away from the motel. So it was my escape. It was where I was happy and I felt safe. And yeah, I mean, my mom, you know, was stuck at the motel, but very supportive of education. Funny, she wasn't like the traditional, like stereotypical Chinese tiger mom that you hear about who is like beating you and making you read the dictionary and all these.
But you did read the dictionary.
I did. That was just from because I was a nerd and preparing for spelling bees. But I think it was super helpful that she wasn't like that because I can't imagine performing well happily under that kind of pressure. Like, I think her standard was always just don't slack, do your best, but it's like you're not going to get beat if you get a B, you know? Like, can you, you can't, nobody performs well under that kind of pressure, right?
I don't know. I didn't have that pressure, but I also got B's. So I'm probably not the right person to be asking that. Along those lines, you know, you're homeschooling the kids now. Were you over? Did you go by the elementary school today? Is this part of Teacher Appreciation Week or what were the kids doing?
We went for a ride because we prepared little teacher appreciation packages, a couple gift cards for their teachers and asked for their teachers' home addresses.
Oh, you went to their house?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
We took a little tour today. The 17-year-old got some driving time in. And we, dropped them at their homes just on, their porches.
Did they know that you were coming over or this was you crashing?
The kindergarten teacher, who lives over by Mount Tabor, that was like a drive and drop because we didn't give her a heads up that we were coming. So I don't want to show up at somebody's house.
You knock on the door, You're like, hey, what's going on?
And
we appreciate you.
And then the preschool teacher, I had to text her to get her address. So yeah, we she knew we were coming and we, you know, I literally like to keep my distance, like set the little gift down on the sidewalk and then backed away slowly. I hope this is all worth it. Right?
Let's talk about that for a second, yeah. Because this came up last night in our own home in a, in like a, what would be a private discussion.
So why not take it public?
We as a state are being looked upon by other states as the model. Hey, look what Oregon did. Oregon really squashed the curve. They had a not a dense population, but look at how diligent they've been. Good on Oregonians. There's also people out there that believe that we have overreacted and the country's overreacted. And I know that discussion's coming. It has. I haven't really had that with a stranger, but I know the discussion's coming where people go, this was all about nothing. We overreacted. I have mixed feelings because I'm glad. I don't want people to die. That's where I start. That's my starting point. Like, first, do no harm. I also look at business owners that have just been decimated by this, who are just starting to get hope that they're going back to business. And I do not blame them for being frustrated at all. Where do you stand on that whole discussion? Because the moms are going to have a field day with this.
Oh, I'm struggling so much because I just want to trust in our government and institutions and the decisions they've made on behalf of all of us to flatten the curve. And I would like to believe that we've all made this sacrifice together in the last several months to that end. But yes, I'm starting, you know, you start to read, like I have an open mind and I start to read about places like Sweden, where I guess they didn't do the physical distancing thing. Like they limited people to groups of 50, but they didn't close down their restaurants and bars and nightclubs and other kinds of businesses and whatnot. Like, you know, hair salons still stayed open. And they did not have a high infection and fatality rate from this. So I'm just starting to get a little bit confused by it. I'm just being honest because there are people, smart people I know and trust who are starting to like say these things. And I don't even know what to think anymore. Honestly,
I need to see a bigger picture. I do believe, though, it's hard to argue with what happened in New York City. Like, it's hard to look at the graph of the death toll and infection in New York City and not walk away going, okay, there was logic in what we're doing here.
Right.
Because I wonder, like, is the curve flattened? Do we not have the deaths that people expected because we did so well at distancing, because we took it seriously? Or Is it just that we didn't know enough about the virus? Like, what's the narrative on this going to be in 10 years? I think it's going to be a vastly different narrative. Like, even the stuff we know now, we're going to know more about sort of the makeup of this virus, how it mutated, how it spread. I saw something with Dr. Fauci on the news where he was saying that the people in the western part of the United States, the virus that was in the western part of the United States definitely came from China, but the virus that was on the eastern part of the United States had its origin in Europe.
Right. And then there's still more information coming out, right? Like, there's supposedly the virus, we know viruses mutate. So supposedly there's like another strain now coming out. There's like some kind of weird toxic syndrome that's hitting kids that may be or may not be COVID related. And then there's the whole question of vaccinations too. Like, you know, traditionally I'm not an anti-vaxxer. Like, I believe in vaccinations. But I have an open enough mind to like read about it and try to understand why people are so against it. And like, I think that's a situation that families are going to have to discuss. Okay, so they rush a vaccination to market. They try to do as much testing as they can. Are you going to be first in line to like shoot up your kid with the vaccination before like a lot of other people are tested?
Hold on, we got an issue with this. We got to recall it. You know,
right. Yeah. I don't know. It's just everything is like upside down for me now. And part of the issue is I think I do have an open mind. Like I'm open and receptive.
We've been super diligent. Like we don't go into the store with the kids. We don't go places. We wore masks. If you go to Costco or you go to Safeway, you're wearing a mask.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, I went to go to the mailbox and there was a lady running and I've run into her twice now. After the radio show, I go to get the mail. I have stopped to let her run by. Mm-hmm. And then I go down to the mailbox and I hold my breath for a little bit. Like, she just went by. Like, could I get it? You know, and she's breathing heavily. So we've been super diligent. But I too, it's in my nature to question things.
Right.
But it's also in my nature to err on the side of caution.
Yeah. Right. And so that safetyism, I guess the term is being thrown around now, is what is being like criticized, that we've all adjusted to this new normal and constitutional rights have been violated. I mean, if you really look, there's like some really like upset people who are pointing out things like this. And, you know, they slam the governor and anybody else that's trying to extend the lockdown and whatnot. So right. I don't know.
I'm going to break here. I'm going to change the topic next, as we always do. Leave it right here. You got the bald faced truth. There is only one way to join Team Canzano and get breaking news and get all the information first. You can text BFT to 484848. That's how you do it. If you haven't done it already, join. You can get ticket offers, giveaways, breaking news, everything behind the scenes, you get it first. My wife has popped into studio as she does every day on the show. Elon Musk had a baby. How about that? His girlfriend had a baby. He's a dad.
That just happened?
That just happened.
Who's his girlfriend?
That's today. She's a singer.
Oh.
I'll look this up. What the question for you?
Oh, sorry.
The question for you.
You're trying to conduct a radio show. But...
Yeah. Let me get that for you. The
is
question.
Her name Grimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's her real name, Grimes.
That's her stage name. I'm pretty sure.
Like a single name, Grimes. Like Cher.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's awesome.
Grimes.
Is she any good? She got some music we can play?
I don't know.
She does not have any music. No.
By the way, she was widely, the baby is a girl, and it was rumored to that they were going to name the baby Influenza.
Oh, geez.
But they did not. They named.
Why would you do that?
They did not. They named the baby, what is that? X?
What? Like Greek letters?
That's a Greek letter, A-12 Musk.
You're kidding me.
Nope, that's her name.
Well, that's Elon Musk for you.
Mom and baby are doing fine.
Let's name the baby something we can't even enunciate.
Mom and baby are doing well until the baby learns its name.
Oh, is this Grimes?
Yeah, this is Grimes. This is a weird music video.
What's she doing in the video, more importantly?
there are shirtless men doing bicep curls in the locker room.
Are you joking?
I'm not joking. No, I would not joke about that.
Here's Grimes.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, I've seen her. Okay.
Also, so, he's 48, she's 32. Just making an observation.
Yeah, that's love.
Oh, you know, what's age?
What's her net worth?
No. Wait, is she, oh, they're not married.
No.
Okay.
But there she is. There's Grimes. Look at her.
Yeah, so she's kind of got
interesting. She's goth.
She's kind of a gothy Miley Cyrus.
Apparently, what's that thing around her? Apparently, yeah. The baby's name is supposed to be pronounced X Ash Archangel.
Oh, boy. Artsy.
Mm-hmm.
X Ash Archangel.
Come here, X.
Good luck.
Oh, look at baby X.
What are they in for? Let's talk parenthood. Anna, Elon Musk and Grimes have had a baby. They're about to learn what?
Well, he's like super rich, so he can hire like 17 nannies, right?
Mm. What are they about to learn?
Again, there's just no comparison. Like, I could tell them that they're not going to sleep for a while, and it's going to test their patience and test their relationship more than ever. But
no, here's what they're going to learn.
What?
They're going to learn that everything that they thought was important before yesterday, mm-hmm. or today, it was not important.
Oh,
that's what I learned.
Yeah.
I had all this idea of what life was about and career and what was important, and then kids showed up and I went, what? Mm. Like, you know what I mean? You know how you look at the dog after you've had a baby?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Before, when the dog was the baby?
Yeah. And all of a sudden now you go, oh, everything that was important to me is no longer important. It just shifts your perspective. And I think it's the hardest thing that people do, and I think it's the most rewarding thing that people do.
That is
simultaneously.
True. Yeah.
Is Mother's Day is coming up this weekend.
Oh, yeah, Mother's Day.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mother's Day is ahead of us, and we're amid a pandemic. Get the cards in the mail. Get the flowers ordered, if you can order flowers.
Get creative.
Get creative. Do a Zoom call. I don't know. There's the bottom line. So they're about to learn what, in your estimation? Not going to be patience, or maybe they'll find a new level of patience. What did you learn? What did you learn being a mom that you didn't know before?
I learned that you will do so many different weird things as a mom, like all the gross stuff that you thought was super gross before you had a baby, you just kind of shrug off now like it's nothing.
Like you're like, eating a banana while changing a diaper.
Just like to the nth degree, you know, just, you know, things that you used to wipe their nose and all the stuff that people used to like talk about casually, like new parents will just talk about casually, like poopy things and snotty things. And, you know, like that device that you use to suck the snot out of your baby's nose. Like that's insane. You tell any sane person that that's what you're in for when your baby is sick and you're going to suck the snot out of their nose for them with this magical device. You look at them like they were insane, but you tell another parent that, and they're like, "Oh yeah, that device is awesome."
Yeah, we do. Totally we do hard. That too. Let's go to Stan, who's in Eugene, listening on Fox Sports. Eugene, what's up, Stan?
Hey, thanks for taking me so fast at the end here. This is a quick, great question for maybe both of you because I respect Anna and both your opinion. But my friend and I were playing golf yesterday, and we were just talking about the days when we were kids, and you know when your friends and your neighbors and your playmates had mumps and measles and chicken pox, your parents would literally almost push you out the door to go over there and play with them in hopes that you would contract it so that you would build the immunity, you would get it, and then you would be immune to it going forward. And I'm just thinking, what a contrast to today. And I wonder what you and Anna think about, and what do you do with your kids? Do you try to protect them from mumps and measles, or do you do the same thing? I'll take it up here.
Appreciate that. Good question. Anna, what's our policy on stuff like that?
Well, I mean, our kids are vaccinated. Like, we've followed the vaccination timelines.
Let's do chicken pox, for example.
Yeah.
I'm of the mentality that it's good for the kids to get a cold. It's good for the kids to get sick, that, you know, they go to school. Sometimes there's a good illness that helps build immunity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You need some antibodies.
Yeah. Having said that, you and I, like, I've had chicken pox. I had chicken pox in third grade. Did you have chicken pox?
My dad and I had them at the same time.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
Okay.
I was a kid.
Right.
What are you worried about? Are your kids going to get chicken pox because the guy called in and asked about it?
I mean, I definitely have friends who believe that like they just they literally do chicken pox parties, which
I don't want to be careless, but I'm not putting our kids, I'm not wrapping them in bubble wrap. I think they need to get a skinned knee. I think they need to go to school, and I think, you know, all right, if everyone in the class is sick and they get sick too, then, you know, they're going to come home, they're going to survive it because we're going to be on top of it. So to the caller's point, I think you could do a disservice to your kid by wrapping them in a bubble wrap.
All right.
The bald-faced truth is not here for a long time. Just a good time. Elon Musk, Grimes, congratulations on that baby.
Congratulations.
And we'll leave it at that. Whatever they call that baby. Congrats to you guys.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald-faced truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.